Seminar, Agelessness, Lecture 6. My universe is the cauldron of thought from my allness. Seminar, Agelessness, Lecture 6. My universe is the cauldron of thought from my allness. I live thrilled in my dreamscapes. I see all of my creation in their ideal expression at all times. My diverse thought is always on adventure. Each thought represents the allness specifically expressed. So, my universe is the cauldron of thought for my allness. Now, we look at that word cauldron and we think witch's brew, and we think of all sorts of things, Harry Potter and stuff like that. And that's essentially what it's supposed to do to you. What does it do to your thought when you think of Harry Potter? You think of the wizard. You think of a young man who is learning how to be a wizard. You think of the school, Hogwarts, where they're learning how to be wizards, how to be magicians, and how to be, they have words for them. The men are, and the women are witches, right? What do they call the men? Come on.
Warlocks.
Warlocks. The men are warlocks or wizards, you know, and the women are witches. Now, is that true? That's what they call them. Now, we have watched Bewitched on television, on the video screens here, and we have learned that witches don't have to be ugly old witches. They can be very lovely. We have seen shows, especially on science fiction shows that the children have, which is showing witches with their cauldron, you know, and throwing in wart's eyes and hog nose and lizard's tails and things like that, and brewing up a brew to do wonderful things. And Merlin the Magician, with his tall witch's hat or wizard's hat, and his cloak, always with a robe, and his... Now, think of it. Have you ever seen anything with Merlin the Magician in it? Have you ever read anything with Merlin the Magician in it? And what did Merlin the Magician do? Now, Mickey Mouse was a magician being trained by Merlin the Magician, you know, in a movie, in a cartoon movie a while back. It was kind of charming. And Merlin would take his wand, and he'd go like this, and the witch's brew would mix. Mickey Mouse had to take a ladle and put it in there and twist it around. And the more advanced students just take their wand and accomplish their things. Now you say, Herb, are you going to talk to us all about witches stuff and wizardry and things like that? No. I'm merely going to tell you that my universe is the cauldron of thought from my allness. Now, you see, the cauldron is out of which comes all the magic in the world, by our thought. The cauldron is what the witches must brew to bring forth their desires, their wizardry. Now, that's not always true. They can just use their wand and bring forth wizardry too. And they do that. But what is it that really brings forth the wizardry? Did any of you read Harry Potter? In reading some of Harry Potter, in the beginning, Harry Potter was a young man, 8, 9 years old, and he was living with his... he was living with his mother's sister, and as he was living there, they didn't agree to wizardry. They didn't think that was good at all. And so an aunt came to visit. And the aunt was a big, bubbly aunt. And she was saying that the kid should be glad that he's being taken care of by his aunt and being taken care of. And the kid should be appreciative of this. And then, that was not bad. Then the woman said, Your mother was a terrible woman. Your father was an evil man. You're, you know, and the kid, his emotions just got the best of him. And he said, float to the ceiling, old fat person. And so she floated to the ceiling by his thought. By his thought. He wasn't evil to her. He didn't say, you know, drop dead or something like that. He just said, float to the ceiling. And she floated to the ceiling. She floated to the ceiling. And it was remedied later, but she floated to the ceiling. And, of course, his aunt and his uncle were not very happy with what he was doing. And they knew he did it, even though they didn't know that he did it. They didn't believe that he could do these things, and yet they knew he did it. And so, you see, then another incident happened. The little cousin that he had was a very unhappy young man, and he was always giving Harry Potter a hard time. And so they went to the zoo one day. And at the zoo, the young boy was taunting a snake behind a big glass wall, a big python, giant python. And snakes and wizards are very harmonious with one another. The wizard's wand oftentimes turns into a snake. And this is where, you remember the story of Moses going to Egypt, and his cane. Ingeborg, watch me and listen to me sometime. What do you carry when you walk around here? His staff. His staff, that's the word. His staff turned into a serpent and went over and got at the other magicians that the Pharaoh had. And, of course, he ate up all the Pharaoh's serpents. And so that disappeared. And then he did all sorts of interesting things. You see, there in the Old Testament, in the story of Moses clearing up, taking the Israelites out of Egypt and taking them back to the Promised Land, was all if you didn't open your eyes to it, you're sleeping. It's all magic. It's all mysticism. It's all wizardry. It's all the thing of what a wizard does. And that's what Moses was. He was a wizard. And that's what the men who he was up against, you know, proving who was the strongest wizard, and he turned the river into blood. And he did all sorts of neat little things, you know. Ha, 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 you know. And wizardry, pure wizardry. And way back then, they knew how to use it. And they know how to use it today. Wizardry is a matter of thought. Now, you see, Moses was thought to be an okay guy because the Jews wrote the Bible, you know, and he was the guy who helped them out of Egypt land, and so they didn't make him into what they should have. Now, if the Pharaoh had written this book, the Pharaoh would have called Moses a what? A sorcerer. They would have called him a witch, a wizard, a warlock. They would have called him all the names that belong to that type of genre of activity. And having done that, they would have belittled him, bemeaned him. But of course, the Pharaoh, he didn't have time to study that stuff, so he had men who did study that who were on his team. You understand? Just like the king. The king didn't have the time to study this stuff, so he had Merlin, magician, for King who? King Arthur. And other kings, they had their magicians too. Magicians were a common parlance in the castles of ancient times. And you see, this, it's not, I want you to shift gears a couple times here. It's not a matter that the magicians are anything special. It's just a matter that what they were doing was what anyone can do if you will take the time to study it. And what is it that they're taking the time to study, Ingeborg? They're taking time to study their mind, to learn how to use their mind, to use the genius within them, to use their word when they speak their word, that it's done. When any magician spoke his word, it was done. And whenever you see any stories that are involved in magic or wizardry or anything. It is done. Now, what is it that, who is our great a magician today?
Davy
Copperfield. What about him? What does he do? What does he work on? He works on people's minds. He works on your mind to make you have the illusion that something is so that he wants you to have the illusion. And he can do it to an audience filled with thousands of people. Now, how can he do that? He must really be quite a guy, you know? So, it's not that. It's easy. The illusion can be so easy. You take 20,000, 50,000, 100,000 people living in a Florida city, and they hear that the hurricane is coming. And so instead of instantly saying, go and play in the sky someplace and have a ball, you know, it would go. But no, oh, it's going to come. It's going to come right across our area. It's going to come here. And they empower it to come right where they are, be right where they are, and it's going to be the worst one that we've ever had, you know, because there are always the doomsayers who want to say those things. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, empowering hurricanes in this way, tornadoes, floods, volcanoes, whatever sort of earthquakes that you want to have, of the acts of God, well, they're not acts of God. These are acts of God, and you are God. You are creating those things happening, and you are creating those instances taking place in your world. And what a silly person you are. You must really, well, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You are all absolutely silly persons because you go to the fairground and you get on the worst ride you can get on, the loop-to-loop, you know, upside down, hanging up there in the sky and doing silly things, you know. And you like the terror, you like that frighteningness, you know, and you go to horror movies, and the more horror in the movie, the more you like the movie. Yeah, it's silly. It's a silly thing to do. But why do we do that? Well, we like to do what we said here. My universe is the cauldron of thought from my allness. We don't judge the horror movie as bad or good. We just say it's exciting. It's inviting. I live thrilled in my dreamscapes, you know? I live thrilled in my dreamscape. I live thrilled with the tornado, the hurricane coming down upon me. And we love to see pictures of it. We love to see it on television. And we love to see people in their cars taking pictures of it close by, knowing that their car might be wiped off the face of the earth in an instant with this. And we love that. We love that. Now, we told a story about Daniel and the lion's den the other day, remember? And was Daniel frightened of the lions? Yeah, what he said was, hey guys, you know, we're in this together. I may be your dinner, but I'd rather not, you know. And so he took charge. Okay, now, can you take charge of any circumstance that comes in your life? I see all my creation in their ideal expression at all times. Now, what's the ideal expression at all times? One thing is the ideal expression for all of us at any time. One thing. One thing is the ideal expression for all of us at any time. And that one thing is we are master of our thought. That's our ideal expression. We're master of our thought. Our ideal expression is that we are in charge of every circumstance, of every experience that comes up in our life. We are in charge because we put the cause in motion for it. That is the thing that is the most important of all. I see all my creation in their ideal expression at all times. I see all my creation living in a harmonious life. I see all my creation living in a life, and I don't want to say free of terror and free of anxiety and stuff like that, but all my creation is harmonious and joyful and peaceful and living uplifting things. Sylvia came out and she says, you told me something that was kind of tough, and it was kind of tough, and it's kind of tough. And I said, Sylvia, it's kind of tough because you took it. You should have just said instantly when I told you something that was kind of tough, huh, I see my world in perfect divine order, right? And never let anything come to you that's kind of tough. Lydia, she loves chomping things up. And so Lydia's in the kitchen chomping things up. And she comes along and she finds that there's something there that just doesn't want to get chopped. And she's got the knife, and it won't chop. And so Lydia turns around. She says, Ellen, how are you doing today? And she's taking her mind away from the toughness of the chomp, okay? And Ellen says, oh, I am just so happy. I'm just enjoying myself so much. And Lydia says, well, I am too. And so then Lydia turns back to what she was doing. Meanwhile, she has a new point of view, a new attitude in her mind, and she goes, chomp, and it chops right up, just like nothing. And it was like it was a one giant seed before, a knot that she couldn't cut into. And then she had changed her mind about it. She changed her perspective, changed her thought, and tuck, it went just like butter, you know? This is how we master our thought. We do not master our thought by concentrating on the problem that we cannot chop up this object because it is too tough. We turn our attention away from it. We say, isn't that a lovely day? You know, I feel so good. Ooh, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we go back to whatever we're doing, and no more than that. Now, David Copperfield, how does he get people to play the game with him? Well, first he takes little audiences. He takes one or two people, and he bamboozles them. He makes them believe something that just seemingly cannot be true. And it is. And then he takes little larger audiences, and larger and larger and larger. Pretty soon he's got thousands of people. And they're all sitting in this great theater, listening to him and having him weave the stories and tales that he does. Now, he's not a big talker. He talks a little bit, but what he does, he is a magic man of the mind. He gets everybody feeling comfortable with the concept that he's presenting. And they're so comfortable with the concept he's presenting, all of a sudden they realize that this large building that they're looking at is no longer there. They see this elephant walk across the stage, and it's standing right in the middle of the stage, and poof, it's gone. It's gone. And, I mean, you can't get rid of an elephant like that. And when an elephant comes across the stage, and it's a real elephant thumping across the stage, it doesn't go poof like that without some very interesting attitude going on. Well, he's a master. He tells the people, okay, now you see it, now you don't. Poof. They may put a curtain over the front of it, and you can't get rid of an elephant that quick. They run the curtain over the front of it, they pull the curtain away, and it's gone. Where'd it go? Was it just an illusion? Was it just a photograph that was photographed up on stage to look with a 3D aspect, you know, like as though it's real? What sort of a thing is it? Well, he won't tell you. Those are his tricks. Those are his trade. But it is but a trick. And life is but a trick. Life is but an illusion for each one of us. And we want to be master of these illusions by saying our word. Now, Copperfield says his words, and he gets these great results. Now, do you say your words and get great results? You can. You see, my universe is the cauldron of my thought from my allness. It's not something that is evil, not something that is bad, not something that is ugly. It's just the allness. Now, some of you have trouble with the word chaos. And as Irene wrote in her email this morning, her dreams were sort of like a chaos, a very chaotic thing, leaving her a little confused. Well, now, chaos, I will tell you right now, chaos is the highest form of order. Chaos is the highest form of order. It is such a high form of order, we cannot see its order. Now, you look in the middle of a tornado, and can you see order there? Or do you see all the houses that it's whipped up, and the dogs and the horses and the people that are floating up in this tunnel of the tornado? And you say, order? It doesn't seem like much order there. It's like a vacuum cleaner pulling things up into it. And yes, but you see, if you could look with the eyes of divinity within you, you would begin to see the order. You would begin to see how that chaos, that tornado, is really a very orderly action of positive and negative forces flowing around each other. The one and the zero, remember? The one and the zero that makes up all matter, all things. The nothingness and the allness. The one is the allness, the zero is the nothingness. So chaos is the nothingness and the allness. Chaos is a computer terminology, a phraseology that's so perfect, so beautiful. Now, you have the capacity to understand that. Irene has the capacity to understand the chaos of her dream. Now, so long as Irene calls the experiences of her dreams chaos, and she says to herself, this is beyond my comprehension. It's beyond her comprehension. The moment Irene says, oh, I see how that works. I see how that is. These are negative thoughts from my consciousness coming out and wanting attention, and my positive thoughts coming out from my consciousness saying, don't give them attention. You know, give me attention. And the negative thought says, no, no, don't give positive thoughts attention. Give me attention, you know. And this is what happens in all of us. This is what all of our dreams are about. All of our dreams are the fight within us of our human self and our divine self. Our divine self doesn't fight, it just is, and it is happy. Our human self says, hey, let's have a game. Let's have a game. Life's no fun unless we got a game, unless we got some things going on and we're practicing. And that's why, do you know there's a University of Chaos? Do you know that there are courses in the University of Chaos and in other universities that teach chaos? That teach all about chaos? I mean, teaching all about confusion? Teaching all about confusion, is that right?
No. Order.
Oh, oh, ho, ho! Teaching all about order. Yes. You see, we have to get our act in order. If I say chaos is order, then you have a whole different attitude. If I say gay is happy, joyous, free now all the time, and you say, oh, I like that, you know. And it doesn't have to be confusion. It doesn't have to be disarray. They first found out in the study of chaos with the dripping water from a faucet that dripped, and it dripped in a perfect pattern, even though it was appearing to be chaotic. Over a period of time, the pattern repeated itself and repeated itself and repeated itself. But it repeated itself over maybe hours, maybe over years. And whoever had the capacity to stay still long enough to pay attention to that, that was a miracle. It's just like time lag photography. Do you know what time lag photography is? You take pictures of something, and it just little by little it shows the cars moving along the freeway or the flower opening up, you know, or let's say a rat having a mouse, a little mouse being born, and showing it as it comes forth, and then pretty soon the little mouse is just all happy as can be, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful story, but you see, time lag photography opens up the doorway to us, to the cauldron of our isness, to the awareness of the chaos, the allness that the universe is, so that we can have a good time, so that we can have a lot of fun. Now, why would time lag photography do that? If you've ever seen time lag photography in the finished picture, it shows the ribbons of lights as they go up and down the freeway. It shows the stars moving across the sky. There was a picture in National Geographic this month. And in the picture, it showed a picture of a rodent, I believe it was, in a field. And the rodent was looking around. But the rodent was concentrating on something. And the rodent had such one-pointed concentration, virtually it did not move in the period in which it took the stars to go like this across the sky. And so in the picture, the stars show themselves at these various points across the sky. And other activities were taking place in the picture, but it was just, and the moon, of course. So, and this rodent in this time lag photography was so one-pointed, you'd think that he was stuck in extra, but he was so one-pointed that he was dedicated to his quarry, looking for dinner. And he was paying attention to this hole out of which something might come that would be his food. Now, so still, and this is what rattlesnakes do, and ordinary snakes do, they stay so still, you step on them, and you don't even know that they're there. And dogs don't even know that they're there, because they have no odor. And just like lizards and rodent, not rodent, but lizard and snakes and fish and other things like that have no odor. So they have that protective genius of that. But now, what about you? Here we come, and we say, I see all of my creation in their ideal expressions at all times. Now, what are your ideal expressions? What is your ideal creation that you see in its ideal expression all the time? What is it? Is it something that is important, like a house, a car, health, relationships? Or is your ideal relationship, what do we say here? My ideal expression at all time. What is your ideal expression at all time? It is knowing who you are. You are divine. You are the creative cause of your universe. You are the only existing consciousness in the entire universe. You say, well, if I'm the only existing consciousness in the entire universe, what are you? Or what are my friends here? What are we? You know, well, you see, here we come to a most fascinating area. And the most fascinating area is dualism or no dualism. Dualism is when Gertrude has the same capacity that I have. Now, Gertrude doesn't have the same capacity I have. Gertrude never will have the same capacity I have. Gertrude will have the capacity that she has. But there is only one. So Gertrude and I are one. Now, if we are one, then how could there be any dualism? Therefore, whatever I want, Gertrude wants. But that's not true. I want a house, a car, whatever, and Gertrude wants a car, a house, whatever, you know. Now, that's shows you that that's not the point. What Gertrude wants, what Gertrude is she's expressing her ideal self. She is expressing, and that's what it says here, my ideal, I see all of my creation in their ideal expression at all times. She is expressing her ideal self. Now, what is her ideal self? Now, Gertrude, your ideal self is the allness. My ideal self is the allness. All of our ideal self is the allness. If all of our ideal self is the allness, then what?
There's only one.
And if there's only one, then how could there be age? Or how could there be youth? How could there be anything? Now, we talked in the last hour about Mozart and his tiny fingers having a little tiny piano. And we talked about other things that indicated from birth on, were they blessed with the awareness, just the awareness, with the awareness that they could do anything, they would do it. Mothers and fathers who talk to their birthing child or the child that's gestating, and they tell that child all the wonderful things about it, it'll be that. But parents don't usually have the time to do that. They take their cigarette or they take their drugs. They drink their alcohol. They drink foods that are not beneficial to the child's forthcoming beingness. And that's not bad. That's not bad. If bad is the right word. Bad. That's not bad. That is not ugly. What is ugly is that the parents think that the child is not complete when it comes forth. Now, can you tell me that a child is going to add something to its body, to its beingness, once it is born? Is it going to add height? That's not adding anything. Is it going to add intelligence? It's got it already. Is the intelligence going to come from the outside? No, it's already within it. Is a child going to express purity and goodness and wholeness and magic in all of itself? It's already all that. We miss the point by not recognizing that a child is all that right now. We intuitively know that. We intuitively know, look, it's got five fingers already. You know, it's not going to develop the fingers. You know, it's got a heart and nose. It's got a head. It's got eyes and toes. It's beautiful, you know? And look at the little tiny sex organs, you know? Just look at that, little tiny, tiny being. Well, my goodness sakes, why are we so surprised? It is the microcosm in the macrocosm, or the macrocosm in the microcosm. It is the tiny, tiny being. Now, has that tiny being all the capacity that the big being has? Sure. But as it gets bigger, it gets all of the ideas that are limitation. And all of these ideas that are limitation keep it from being the allness that it was when it came into being at the instant it was born. At the instant of birth, a child is everything. And as it evolves, you know, people say, well, why did my child have a heart problem, a heart murmur? Why did my child have this? Why did my child have that? And even at birth, why did it have it? Well, it's the thoughts that are going around in the universe. It might be the parents, and most usually is, or it might be the doctors, or it might be, whoa, this thing is going around now. You know, children are born with a pachytoodle-dee, and so your kid should have pachytoodle-dee too, you know. And some other kid, there are lots of pachytoodle-dee around, you know. And it's pretty bad, you know, it's pretty bad. We haven't figured out what it means or what it is, but pachytoodle-dee is something that's not very comfortable to have, you know. And so we name it, we name it. And isn't it interesting? Years ago, they only had a few diseases, and a few diseases covered everything. But today we have many diseases, and they cover nothing. They cover nothing. Many diseases that cover nothing, and they cover what the manifester, creator, and developer of those diseases says for it. Isn't that silly? Isn't that a silly thing? How silly we are to limit ourselves to making these observations. Now, let me tell you another silly thing, too. And I would like to take each one of your minds and erase it right out of it. You have a genetic structure about your body that you cannot get away from. It's a genetic structure of your parents. And your genetic structure of your parents is they have a lot of cancer in your family. They have a lot of diabetes. They have a lot of this or that or the other thing, you know, or mental illness or bad strains of this or that. And you're going to have to experience those things in your family. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. See, we can put the cause in motion that no genetics disturbs us in the slightest. Not that we want to say no genetics, but we put the cause in motion for what?
For imperfection.
All is perfection. All is in divine order. Are you ready for all is in divine order?
In divine order.
Well, then that's it. That's all it takes. All is in divine order. All is divine order. That's why I say, I am divine order. All is divine order. You see, when you say in divine order, that means there's an order in which it is to be. But if it is order itself, if it is the essence, the ideal of order, if it is chaos comprehended, how fantastic that is. See, we have a wonderful show and a wonderful way to go. The universe is the cauldron of thought from my allness. From our allness, we have every possible thought that ever could exist in the entire entireness, you know, any thought that could exist at all. And we have the opportunity of using it. Now, you have the opportunity of using the thought, the gene structure of my family is all ideal and perfect. And you, whoever you are, you're over here, you have the opportunity of saying, well, in my family, the gene structure is pretty weak. We have a lot of mental illness. We have a lot of physical illness. We have a lot of da-da-da. Well, thank you, Mary Brown, you know. Why endorse it? Why expostulate it? Why give it power? Rather say, what'd you say?
I have the fine one.
We have in our family perfect genes, perfect DNA, perfect everything. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Now, if a mother and a father have bad genes and DNA and they know it, and then they go and have a child, I mean, number one, they should be shot. But they aren't. And people just feel sorry for them. So they come to me and they say, Herb, we're going to have a child. And his DNA and my DNA are this and that and the other thing. And I say, okay, what is it that we can do? Oh, I don't know. We can go to the finest surgeon, finest medical help. We can get the drugs and stuff that'll help. And I said, yeah, but what else can we do? What else can we do right now? I don't know. That's why we came to you. Well, I say, here's what we do. What name have you given to this child that will be born? Barbara. That's a nice name. Okay. Barbara has ideal DNA and genes in her body. Barbara has ideal DNA and genes in her body. Barbara is ideal. Barbara is the ideal expression of all that is good and beautiful. Barbara is brilliant. Barbara is delightful. Barbara is charming. Barbara is beautiful. You know, pop doom, but we've got these genes. Well, stop spreading them around. Let them stop with you. You know, you don't have to have them go on beyond you. Now, you have gotten your egg and sperm together, and you messed it up there. You didn't clean up your act before you got the egg and sperm, so now you clean up your act. Here is Barbara gestating in your belly and just having a ball. You feel it kicking now and then? Okay, now talk to her. Barbara, you have perfect genes and DNA structure. You are ideal. You are the girl of all girls, the girl of my dreams. You are the fantastic one, you see? And that's what we want to say. We want to say that. My diverse thought is always an adventure. My diverse thought is always an adventure. Think of that. Think of that. Our diverse thought is always an adventure coming into something beautiful, fantastic, and glorious in our life. You understand? Okay, now, Barbara, baby, how do you like that? Yeah, go, you know. I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't care what you're talking about, but it sounds good. Go. And you say, you see, it doesn't have to know. Because it doesn't know what bad genes are and bad DNA. It does not know that. It will never know that. Because all you do is say it has perfect gene and DNA structure in its body. And anything else you want to throw in, you know. You are the ideal expression of the ideal being right now and forevermore. You live a charmed life. Wouldn't you like someone to say you lived a charmed life, huh?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yes.
Why don't you say that about yourself? I live a charmed life.
I live a charmed life.
Now, wouldn't that be nice if that were your thought morning, noon, and night?
Nice.
I live a charmed life. What does it mean to live a charmed life? Everything is wonderful, you know? I live a charmed life. Isn't that fantastic? Every thought represents the allness specifically expressed. I live a charmed life. I live a charmed life. And that's all that matters to me, is that I live a charmed life. And living a charmed life, what do I do? Living a charmed life, everything goes my way. Now, somehow, somewhere, Mozart's mama and daddy said to each other, every kid we have is going to be talented, because That's our gene structure, that they are musicians and that they're great musicians and they're fantastic musicians and stuff like that. And that's what they said about their kids. Now, they didn't know what they were doing. They just knew that their DNA structure brought forth geniuses. It's like Bach. Bach had so many kids. And what's the other one that had a lot of kids? Beethoven?
No.
Yeah. No?
No. Bach had 11.
Yeah, Bach had a lot of kids. Were all of his kids musicians?
Yeah.
Basically?
Yeah, basically?
All of his kids were musicians?
Yeah.
Great musicians. Musicians that came down in history with a tag of greatness on them. And then there was another guy who was a musician and had a lot of kids. And all of his kids were great. And you see, that's what he thought. You're my kid. You're a musician. You're good. You're very good. I have given you all of my genes of genius of musicianship. And you're great, great, great. And they are. And they were. And they always will be. Now, what sort of genes have you given your children? Now, the genes you have given your children make no difference at all. What is your thought about it today? As all time is
now.
The only time there is
now.
So let's act in the now. What is it that your kids have? What kind of genes do your kids have? What kind of chromosomes? What kind of activity goes on inside of them? What does their ziggurat look like? What sort of things are bustling around in their brain and their body? Perfection. Perfection. Balance. Harmony, ideal, wisdom. Oh, what wonderful. And this is what I would like to bequeath to any child about whom I think. You are being yourself and having fun at all times. You're being yourself and having fun at all times. And nothing else matters. Because when you're being yourself and having fun, everything works out in perfect divine order. Nothing else matters at all. And that's true. Nothing else matters. We think that it's important to be handsome. We think it's important to be intelligent. We think it's important to have a healthy body. We think it's important to have good parents, good genes, good chromosomes. If you live in a life that is being yourself and having fun. You don't have any chromosomes, you don't have any genes, you don't have any parents, you don't have any history, you don't have any nothing. All you are is being yourself and having fun. That's everything. That's everything. Is that your divinity? Oh, yes. Is that your physical body? What kind of physical body do you have to have to be yourself and have fun? A perfect one, right? What kind of mind do you have to have? A vital, dynamic, alert, awake, enthusiastic mind that's just filled with power and filled with wonder and filled with magic, right?
Yeah.
Okay. These are the things that are our reality. These are the things that make all the difference in our life. And these are the things that make the difference for you. Now, my universe is a cauldron of thought. The cauldron of thought from my allness. I live thrilled in my dreamscapes. I have imagination that just doesn't know any bounds. I'm a David Copperfield who manifests every thought that I think about. You know? I'm a magic person. I'm a Mandrake the magician. I'm a Merlin the magician. I'm a magic person who brings forth whatever I choose. What's the kid's name?
David Copperfield.
Yeah, kid.
Potter.
Harry Potter. I'm a Harry Potter, you know. I'm a Harry Potter. Who can do anything. Well, is Harry basically a good boy?
Yes.
Is he basically honest? And does he basically have good ethics and good everything about him? He's just a clean-cut kid. But even a little more than a clean-cut kid, because he has to live up to what he feels his parents were as beautiful beings, never holding anger against anyone. You see, and that's pretty tough. And this one person who murdered his mother and father, he didn't even hold anger against him. And that is amazing. And the same guy tried to kill him. And because he was so pure and so beautiful, he could not be destroyed. You hear that? Harry Potter was so pure and so beautiful that this evil man, using all the evilness in him, could not hurt Harry, could not touch him. Beautiful. You see, this is who we are. I live thrilled in my dreamscapes. Our dreamscapes are being ourselves and having fun. I see all of my creation in their ideal expression at all times. All of my creation. Now, your creation does not include the 7 billion people on the face of the earth. Yet your creation does include that. Your creation includes everything, everywhere, on any planet, in any universe, on any dimension that exists, anywhere. That's your creation. Now, is it good and very good?
Yes.
You bet. Don't ever forget it. Okay, my diverse thought is always on adventure. I like life, and I'm having fun in life, and I'm doing silly, wonderful, crazy things all the time. And when I'm not busy with you, I'm off thought traveling, or time traveling, or being, or staying, or doing whatever I want to do. Oh, I have a ball. Each thought expressed represents the allness specifically expressed. Each thought represents the allness specifically expressed. That's the allness. Each thought. So, is a tornado, hurricane, earthquake, whatever, bad? No. It's just the chaos having a ball. Now, does it need to be disturbing humanity in any way? No. You just have it have this ball up in the sky. Now, what about the airplanes passing by? It doesn't play where the airplane route is, you know. It plays elsewhere. There's a whole infinite sky up there it can play in. It doesn't need to be one place or another. No. You saw the picture of the moon and the sunrise, sunset or whatever, at the North Pole? Charming, right? And it's unbelievable. Now, who could have taken a picture that precise in that exact location? Maybe they fudged it. Maybe they made it up. But probably not. But to have that actual picture is really quite lovely, isn't it? Now, that's impossible. That's not impossible to a master photographer who puts himself in the right place at the right time to do the right thing. And that's what you are. Each thought represents the allness specifically expressed. I tell you, you are such a beautiful group of people. You are such a magnificent group of people. You're doing everything in your divine right order. I was reading my machine here. It said DS-40, and I thought it was 40 minutes. Well, actually, that's just the number of the machine, DS-40, 4,000. And the time, rather, is 49 minutes, and our lectures are supposed to be 50 minutes.
Wow.
So we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. So after lunch, we'll come back with Lecture 7, My Universe is the Cauldron of Thought Individuated as Isness. And that should give us cause to think. So have a lovely lunch and realize that being yourself and having fun on the dreamscape of your life is the most fascinating, delightful experience you could ever ask for yourself. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
How about that?